As a crooner, every time you take a mic from someone else, you get like a bit of a shock. I don't know why, something in the air, but I'm very wary of taking a mic from someone else. He's like, JP, maybe you can sort something out by saying, as a crooner, I said, you don't get a shock, you know? Because every time I take a mic, my head is out like this.
That's
really crazy.
Yeah.
It's just great. Well, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here with these wonderful people. So, thank you, Lord, you know, every heart, you know, every skill. And like we just pray for JP, Lord. Some of us are extremely skilled with practical things and other people like me who can't do it, Lord. And some people are really skilled with encouraging people. Other people are really skilled at working with children. Some people are really skilled at making nice food for them. We've got many gifts. And I pray that in this congregation you will bind us together, Lord, so that we will be like a beautiful song in harmony. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Sorry, just a quick request. All the kids, you can go outside. If you don't want to listen to the service, you will really reject it. There will be people outside.
That's it, and then go away.
To my prayer for the kids that have been reminded today. Okay, listen, I'm excited to be here to you today, this morning, and I'm just going to be upfront. This is not going to be a sermon that's going to be so deep theologically that you're going to get gray hairs. Just relax, okay? Can I just ask you to give someone next to you a hug or a high five or a maybe a kiss, not a long one, just maybe if you are sitting at the back and you are cold and there's some spots here where we eat this, then you can look to the front of you and just say this one. Everyone happy. Cool. Normally in our church in Secunda, there's I'm almost like the oldest person there, can you believe it? And there's a lot of unmarried people. At the moment I give an opportunity to hug someone next to you, it's like I just ruined the whole thing because it just doesn't stop. It's just hugs. There's men who marry suddenly they get the gift of focus. And they start hugging. But hallelujah, you guys here, you are lots more calm. Donnie was preaching the last few weeks on family, around church, and then my wife, Donnie. And it's interesting because God's laying on my heart the same, along the same lines for me this morning. And I'm just so excited because the more time I spend with Donnie, the more I know that he's the right person for this church, appointed by God, and even not doing God. We're just so excited to have him so close to us to clean up. We still don't know why I need his stakes on me. So this morning, I want to talk a bit around expectations for church family. And I was thinking when I was putting this message together that it's not a good way to put it is what is healthy expectations for church and what is not healthy expectations. That's maybe a good way. Some people will say, let's talk about church family, and that's also good, but the thing is just my family is different from your family. When I say church is like a family, then maybe you get horrified. Because maybe your experience of family was not positive. Maybe there was abuse in your family. Maybe you were left alone in your family. And church certainly is not a place of abuse. It's not a place of being alone. So let me just add to it, healthy family expectations. What do you expect in a church? And it's good to have expectations. I'll tell you why, because there's many churches out there that's not really churches. So you should have an expectation. You should have a hope for church. And I've got 6 points for you this morning. So if you've got your book, you can write along 6 points on healthy family expectations for church. Do you want to know what it is? Okay, I'll tell you what I think. I'm going to head right into it. Number one, a good expectation for you to have or church, that it would be a Jesus-centered community. What do I mean by that? Let me tell you what. When you go to a sports club, it's the Skeleton Tennis Club. Everything is set up for you. If they've got change rooms, it would be nice. So for the men, maybe they will have some deodorant there, the ladies with hallelujah. And on the women's side, maybe there's a hair dryer, I don't know what stuff they do. But everything is set up for you. And of course, church is made to bless you. That's not about you. It's not about Jesus. Church is not set up in such a way to make me feel comfortable. It's set up in a way to make the name of Jesus big. Does it benefit me tremendously? Every area of my life prosper. Personally, I prosper because I get to know the God of all the world. My marriage prospers. I get to learn how to love my wife. My finances prosper because I don't waste it on different things. So I do benefit from it, but it's still not about me. It's about Jesus. Alright? So do you expect the church to be comfortable? For the pastor to have coffee with you every day? Do you think that church needs to make you so comfortable? Let me tell you what, church will prosper. It's called relationship ministry. It's not about you. It's not about me. If church was about me, I would not be in Secunda, I would be in Cape Town. That's why I do that. I live in church next to the beach. But it's not about me. So I'm in Secunda, I'm against the people of you guys. But now, God is showing me, opening up my eyes. I'm loving what you're doing in my life. I love to be here. But I'm here not because of you. I'm here because of him. Why are you here this morning? Why are you in church? What is your expectation? This is a very good expectation. To have. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Because this is on the answer. Because I know him. Amen?
Yes.
Colossians 1 verse 16. By all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Isn't that powerful? Everything comes together with Jesus. Everything is created by him and for him. Your voice, your hands. Maybe your hands and your voice is created to play the role, to serve the church. Maybe your voice is inspired by God to cry and ask for other people. But doesn't matter what, this all comes together in Christ. Now let me make a few more promises on God's behalf. Let me promise you, this church will disappoint you. Because there's people in church. So you're going to go to a small group and you're going to be unhappy something. Hopefully you're not negatively inclined to anything bothers you, then you're going to have a problem. Alright? Because the love of God comes simple. Okay? But we will disappoint you as a church, as a movement. I will disappoint my people in Sukuna because I'm a mere human. And Ronnie, I come to disappoint you. Let me tell you what, the love of Christ will always correct us. Sometimes congregation, maybe a friendly church will disappoint you. The love of God comes into that situation. You know what, you'll have a very good church. You'll give one another. Then your relationship will be stronger and closer. Isn't that true? In marriage, in dog comes to that. It's only 5 times with that, man. But I'm coming on, man. What is that for? Paper or bronze or what? Well, don't they get something for 5 minutes? Diamonds. Okay, diamonds for 5 minutes. Okay. But it's the person, guess who you fight with most? Your husband, your wife. Because you know what? They have to put up with you 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. They do not think the person. Because when there's pain and when there's hurt, there must be true relationship. And Jesus brings us closer. In church, we want to misunderstand one another. It's not all that bad, that's always nice.
But you know what? The love of Jesus Christ brings the people together. And it's beautiful. Are you with me? I think I can promise, make another promise, and that is that this church, Shofar movement, also Sabina Thousand, will serve and seek Jesus the best we can. And we can do it. Do you use God?
I guess.
I know that. So that's to put a few things up there. We, as a movement and as pastors and as a church, would like to seek Jesus in our activities. The way we do things, the way we speak to one another, the way we correct one another, the way we say sorry, and the realness in our relationship. Remember the first point is Jesus-centered community. So at times, maybe this church will run a program and will say, we're going to stop this one. Stop this one. Because we feel the best way to seek Jesus from us to stop that program, maybe do it this way. Okay? Often God calls to us. Isn't that true? Often even our marriages go one way and God speaks us and says, let's not do it this way anymore. Let's try that way. As long as we call to rest towards Jesus, we will be on the right road. That's a good expectation for the church. Jesus in the community. If we put Jesus first, we get prosper. Because the gospel is profitable for all things. It profits our relationships, it profits our heart, it profits us with peace. But if it starts to go about us, then we put us above God, we become the one who gives people to God. And let's thank Jesus for a church that puts Him in the middle. Amen. Then just someone says, I'm happy to be in this house.
Happy to be. I
don't think he meant. The second expectation I think that you can have of any show of our church, and I pray, and I think so, every good church is a house where all are in grace. That's for every person. What do I mean by that? I'd like to put it in two different segments. Number one, we embrace you as a person. Let's forget now about your gifts, whether you can sing or do this stuff. We embrace you because you are made in the image of God. God made you, He knows your name. And because God made you, you are forgiven. That's it. Household of God. On the other side, we also embrace your gifts. We also want to embrace what you have to bring into the kingdom of God. I think when you speak to Jake about Simon and these things, he starts to get excited because he understands how it works. He loves to see the band comes together and everything goes up. You are not Jake, you are not Donnie, you are not Jake, what is your thing? I think a good church, a good expectation to have is that the church is a place where every person is embraced and every person's gift is embraced. Does that make sense?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 14 verse 26. It says, what then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for one another. I want to tell you one thing. If you do speak, thanks, Donnie, for starting off my sermon when you prayed for Jeremy. If you think I am more important because I stand with a mic and preach this morning for a while, God doesn't see it that way. If you think I am a better position with God because I preach this morning for a while, I was called to do this. This is what God asked of me. Why does He ask of you? But God sees my sacrifice for obedience. What does God want from you? What is He laying on your heart? For me, it's obedient to take a lot of time to study the scriptures, put a sermon together, and bring it to you. That is obedience. For me, that's one area that some things have. What is obedience to you? I'm telling you now, the church is ready for you.
from your heart, from your ministry. Does that make sense?
Yes.
This verse is, when we come together, there's no spectators. It's like a rugby team, okay? Allow me to do this. I think rugby is from God. It is.
Amen. Amen.
I think rugby is always for everything.
Amen.
But we all play, okay? So some of us are the scrums, right? We scrum, we're stuffing them, okay? But the ball must come out on our side. Some of us are the runners. Some of us are the kickers. But you can scrum the whole day, that kicker doesn't kick the ball over the post, we all lose. We are all in this together. When we come together, God uses us. God ain't lying to say, we need God, Mom. I'm quite joking. Maybe it's time for you to go to your small reader or go to God and tell them, damn it, sick. That I have a gift. Are you helping me discover my gift? Because I want to bless God and the church. Maybe go to your friend in the church and say, listen, I'm tired of unique opportunity. Now you tell me, help me, let's discover my gift in our life. Let's pray for one another because you know what the church is waiting for us to bring what we have to the table. Amen? Luke 6, verse 31 says, and as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. You know what I want people to do to me? I want people to accept me as I am. I want people to make space for me. I want to come to church. If I have to go to a new town and I'm not a pastor and I'm maybe practicing something else or I study for a year and I go to church, you know what I want? I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I want to be included. I want to feel when I come to church that it's a safe place for me. Who feels like that as well? Alright? Now as you wish others would do to you, so do to them. Let's do exactly that for people that come to that place. Let's be for them that place where they can be received, where they can be a part of a team, where they can say, I'm truly not alone. I was like, maybe you've lost all your family. Maybe there's people out there that have been rejected all their life, and they come to me here and say, you know what? In this place, I'm going to go. This family, there's people that love me. I pray for me, accept you as you are, but we also embrace your gifts. Do you think that's a good expectation for church? I think so. You know, in Afrikaans, we've got some terrible things that we say that we can say, you know, oh, the Lord must just protect us. You know, we will say, this is not a person that's common. This is not a person that's a washup. You know what? Those words don't belong in the church. We don't talk like that. There is no washup, common, stuff like that. Sorry that I use that word, but you know what? It's the truth. Get said. We don't know what that person did. Maybe he got terribly abused. Maybe his mom and dad left him when he was this much. We don't know. Let's embrace every person and allow Jesus to change hearts and lives. I think that's a good expectation to have for church. But God, he can't embrace all of them. We need to be a team. We need to be a team of embracers, right? When someone comes to that door, there might be 50 people running at me. Not really, because they will freak out. But what I'm trying to say is not for the leaders, it's for the church. And I think God will be very pleased with us. And number two was a house that all God embraced. Are you happy with the two expectations so far? God will be happy with us if we yoke with him. Number three, let's go a bit theological. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. Church should be a place if you call a repentant community, something you can expect. What do I mean by that? Let me just say, a good way to look at yourself is this. This is a healthy way to look at yourself. If you can say, I am more sinful and flawed than I ever knew. Or I am more sinful than I ever dared to believe. But I am more accepted by God than I ever hoped. I am so sinful, I am so loved. I am so lost, but Jesus found me. My sin is so terrible, it's dirty. His blood is so much more. That is a very good way to look at yourself. You know why? You know what is the result of that? God, I'm giving one word. What is the result if you look at yourself and you know you are sinful, but you know you are saved? What is the result of that in your heart? Anyone? Start with an H. Humility. If I know that I'm so simple, but I will say there's something in me that tells me I am not better than the other person. You are the end of humility. It's grace towards people. When we come together in small groups, I don't come to measure, I come to die. You know why? That's what I deserve, is to be punished. Yet I am loved. That if a person denied me deserve to be treated harshly, I can give them love. This is exactly what God is doing. Think about what our small groups will look like. We understand this. Think about your work environment. What it would be like if you understand, if you carry that heart into your work environment. I'm sure that you should walk up in there, man. And this is a fun little song. You were the one who was going to lead that person to Jesus. Because you understand God's grace and God's life for you. Once again, a repentant community is a character of the number. Sorry, messed up. That helps. So the enemy comes with conflict, where he comes to make us mad at one another. And just as he wants us to almost hurt one another, then we repent. The love of Jesus Christ goes and says, I'm so sorry. Very good expectation that the church is going to be the end of the world. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
By the way, if you're married, this is your wedding recipe. Number four. This is a good promise from our church, and I believe it's something that we can say. The promise is we will treasure it. A good expectation for you to have from a church or a pastor like me or God is to lead me and help me to be intimate with the Bible and to be intimate with God. Some of the big church leaders over the world today, they disciple many people, they say, we can teach people two things, they'll be okay, to read the Bible. That's why when you come Sunday morning to the sermon, you bring a note. Teach yourself to be intimate with the Word. Then you take it Monday morning, you pray through and allow the church to help you be intimate with the Word of God. Then you pray through. Amen? Let me say something controversial. To be intimate with Jesus is more important than to come to church. To be intimate with Jesus is more important than your marriage. You know why? Because when you are intimate with Jesus, He will tell you what's in church. Because He's the builder of the church. Amen? When you are intimate with Jesus as a husband, He leads you to love your wife. And what people do wrong in these days, people with kids, they make the marriage the idol, the kids the idol, the church the idol, and Jesus is at the bottom, and they struggle with those things. Because only Jesus can lead you to victorious in those things. Intimacy with Jesus is central to the life of the believer. Let me put it another way. I spoke about this in our church as well. I said, when I have an event, of course I want everyone to be there. I mean, who likes to give a sermon and there's no one? Who likes to organize a party and no one pitches? Is there anyone? But the wrong thing for me was to be saying that you will be there. If you are not there, I will come get you. You will pay your tithe. You will. No. I mean, I inspire you to have a relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
He will work in your heart and you will want to be a church. Because you love me, not because you're scared of me. Okay? And when you, listen, this is not about money, but let me just use an example of that. If you earn money, you should not feel out of fear. You should feel out of love. Joyful. Alright? So there's many churches around the world that says you will give your money, you will write your name next to it, if you want to see. It's about Jesus. And then you overflow with thankfulness, repentance, community, remember? I'm so small, I'm so lost, that He's so good to me. So I want to be a church. I want to be a city. I want to be a daily bed. Because I'm going to grow in a life together. I think a very good expectation of the church is that Jesus will be in the Lord. A very good thing for your life is that Jesus is in the Lord. The Bible matters. God is Jesus. He will teach you. Anyone doesn't agree with me, please don't throw me with a high heel or something. Okay? The churches are so scared of these people. They focus on the wrong thing. They watch Jesus. This church is going to be a real touch. Am I right? Am I right? Let's not focus on the other. Let's focus on Jesus. Together. He's the healer. Right? You're not mad at people, you're not shout at people. You might just wash out to you. Okay. You focus on Jesus. He knows what he's doing. He gives us life. Amen. The treasure of intimacy with Jesus. Number six. That was number four. Number five. We will go because He sent us. They were going to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach you to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. Let me tell you what, many people are scared of reaching out because they don't believe they can do it. They say, I'm not that kind of Christian. I'm not the one who speaks to others. I'm the one who comes to church. Let me tell you what. Some of us are extroverts like me, right? We can't keep our mouth shut. It's my sin, I'm sorry. Listen to me before. But some of us are more quiet. You know what? God made you that way. Make it peace with it. Love yourself. Doesn't matter who you are, you've got something to give to the lost. Some of you hug, smile, word of encouragement. Some of us, it comes naturally to speak, to cry. For me, it's not a problem. Some of my friends that became pastors, they were awake at night when they had to preach. But for me, it just comes a bit more natural. And it's okay with that, some God made me. And it's okay to stumble with God to do that. But let me tell you what, you've got something to give to the world. Who of you, let me explain to you, who of you love to have people at your house and make them something nice, like a cake? Present them with coffee. Who likes to host people? Hands up. Okay, now keep your hands up. Everyone look around. Now this is a difficult one. Who's the people that's not so scared to connect with new people? Let's call you the connectors. Who would say I'm a connector? Okay, hands up. I'm also one of those, okay? Look around. Let me tell you what, God means the connectors and the hosts in one church. You know why? The connectors connect with people, but they can't make them feel welcome. They can't make as good coffee as the hostess, or more taught. They just want people coming in the deal, okay? So what you do, connectors and the what you do is you connect, and you phone your friend, hostess, and the listen, I'm bringing someone. We're going to have a good time at your place. You should organize it. Then they bring the new person into your house, and then they leave you in your house, because that's where you're getting more comfortable. You're not so outgoing, but you also need the new person, because you also have that responsibility. So they take the new person into your house, and then you leave them. Okay, they must eat that whole thing. But the same will happen with this house. To connect them or bring the person in, and then while this one stand up for a second. So Donnie is my friend from work. I'm like, thinking of Donnie for 6 months, come to work. At last, Donnie's at church. I'm the new. Donnie comes to me, I'm with all these people, I'm nervous. I think I'm going to die. Now I see there's a connection, another person. Because I don't help myself, I connect. Now when this guy comes into church, the hostess must be here. There's a love. They will take down, don't care about the coffee, because the connector seems to get worse. And most of the time, the connectors will connect the lost to the hostess, and they will move on. Okay? Why am I giving you this example? I'm just telling you that an evangelist or someone, it's not someone that always stands in front of the crowd, it's someone that thinks on how their contribution can help bring someone closer to Christ. Some of us do it through coffee and milk talk, and some of us do it through connecting, but we need one another. As a church group, it's in us, we can't walk away from it. We reach the lost at all costs, and we need one another. That's why we're so smart about it. It's good enough to do this. We have a bar. We've got 2 evenings a week, we should do nothing, because we keep it open to connect with the lost. On Tuesday evenings, the guys play touch rugby. There's a lot of people that come from that. For us, ministry, I'm not going to make a decision on Tuesday evening. Because on Tuesday evening, there's touches. And I want people to ask to go. On a Thursday evening, often we have brides. And I'm not going to make a decision on Thursday evening because that's when we grow up. And then we try and invite the guys from the touch to come to the bride. And then I have all those nice people from the church there. But when they walk in, everyone gets their number, everyone knows the name of their daughter, the name of their wife. And when we see them again, we say, hello, Johanna, with your vrouw, Johanna, Johanna, with your life, your baby. They're like, wow, these people are like, my name or wife. So we try and do those things. But that is a little bit different here, but there's a plan that God has for this church. And he wants to pray out. At the intercession, pray, how does God want to bring the lost to us? What is the avenue, what is the doors that people will walk through to come closer? Because you know that many people are coming to church. It's a step to fall. Something needs to come in between. Right? And that's you. You are the bridge. You have your friends. And you're walking. And that person needs a contact with you to become comfortable and then they'll come to church. And that bridge is important. We need one of you. Understand what I'm saying? I'm being negative, but it's just got a couple of things I want to tell you about this. So, people that don't have a heart for the loss, you've got one or two things. So, mathematically, number one, you say, sorry, Lord, I'm mistake. Number two, you keep your heart off. This morning, if you forget the loss out there, you feel that you cannot do it. You say, sorry, Lord, I thought the wrong way. I can also reach out to you. Move my heart, make it soft, and show you, put me in the team, because I have to do a lot of money, I'm going to be so scared. That's okay. Have a meeting. Get together with your friends. And the two of us, we make it pop past that meeting. Then I invite the friend at work, and you invite the friend at work. Let's do it together, because I love it. And then we just appreciate that one of us is how the Lord changed our life. That's a very short problem. 2 hours, just 2 minutes. The Lord's ready to come in. It's awesome to have your life. Can we pray for you something and then enjoy it with you? Maybe that is what someone needs, just to come closer to Jesus. Okay? mense het gedoen, ek het nogal net ons nogal gesien in mission team, whatever the way we learn, as long as we never forget about the loss of our day. Does that make sense? That's the expectation we have for churches. Every single church must have a way in which they can be forgiven for different churches. The moment we stop this, what happens is the church starts. When we stop going, you know what happens? You can see the pastor. And it sounds more like a more or less like this pastor, you know, I think you preach a bit long. Pastor, you know, I think the songs in church, they seem good. Pastor, I don't like the church anymore. The moment we stop going, it's not going to happen. There's something wrong with the pastor, there's something wrong with life, there's something wrong with the root of the church. I think there's just something wrong. But let's keep going. Because it keeps us humble, keeps our feet on the ground, and we do those right. Amen?
Amen.
You happy with my 5 points so far? I want to throw the statement out there. It requires a sermon, not just on a Sabbath. Some of us really got hurt through our lives, and it's difficult for us to think about loving other people and helping other people. But let me tell you what, your healing, the healing of your heart, is dependent on you loving someone else. And loving someone else sacrificially will be the biggest part of the healing of your heart. Are you better to think of you when the world life is really bad to you? Maybe something happened in your life. Maybe that person is still alive and that person is dead with you. But you know, you don't have hope and you need to start loving someone. Love drives out bitterness. Bitterness will take you to the world. So let's do it. Let's do it. Amen, everyone.
Amen.
Brian and Mike have said many words about me. Line up and line to say, I love you. Dad, I love you.
I love you, man.
I love you.
My last point. See, I'm not the workers in this. A good expectation from church, and I think especially with Ronnie and Dr. Media, is to expect true relationship. Let me explain myself. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Real love contains grace and truth. And I give you an example. Okay, so I've got a friend. Let me just keep on using this out there examples. I've got a friend, and in the evenings he opens his computers and he looks. That stuff is not supposed to look at. And then there's a pornography. I find stuff. If I don't talk to him, I don't love him. As a Christian. If I don't talk to him, I don't love him. When I go and I talk to my friend, let's call his name Pip. If I don't go and talk to Pip, there's gonna be two graces of God at work. Number one, it's going to involve truth, which is fact of being. The truth is you can look into these things. And it's going to hurt him because now I know he's ashamed. But the other thing that takes is grace. Let me help my little friend. Let's pray. Grace and truth come together. Why? Real relationship. Sometimes one will say something that seems harsh to you. But it contains truth and grace. It's hard to hear, hard to understand, but it is the best thing to do. The truth is hard, but the truth is also grace because God's going to be so happy with that decision. Real relationship is for grace and truth. If I only give you grace, you know what that is? Lawlessness. If you work your mind, don't worry, we'll just carry on, free from all of this place. Okay? And some people think that it must all be about grace and no truth, that's Lord. If it's only truth, if I only tell you only Christ is Lord. So real relationships at times is difficult. Like sometimes our wife and I have to sit down and really talk about stuff that, I mean, about a while ago my wife sat down and spoke to me about stuff that really bothers her about me. Now it's difficult to hear. I'm so thankful. I'm not thinking about that. It's so shame that she says this. But the way in which she said, I just think she really, really loved. And now I've grown. It was difficult. It was a real relationship. True and yes. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus came in love, with grace and truth, and did not swing from the one to the other side. At times he was extremely strong. He said, listen, if you love me, Jesus loved me more than the worship of that thing. Straight up. It's a difficult thing to hear, but then he also said, I've got the words of life on me. And Jesus says, come to me all who are thirsty. I would be so lucky. Come to me all who are thirsty. He says, if you don't pick up your cross, you can't follow me. Grace and truth come together. And that is a true relationship. And Jesus holds the church together because he loves us so much. He loves us so much that he gives us one another to irritate one another at times. Amen?
Amen.
Because if someone doesn't irritate you, you're never going to exercise forgiveness. Alright? And yet by the thousand times that you've forgiven someone and you become a forgiving person. God loves forgiving person. You know what? Because God is a forgiver. He loves to forgive. He loves to draw us near even when we are still in sin. He wants us to be the center. He puts us next to people at good places to honesty. But those are the people that think we lack so much. And you know what? We often realize the day when they stand in front of me and say, maybe he's moved to another town, moved to another way, and you send them away out of church, and you're like, you know, I really love that person. I never told you. God is good to us. And I think these expectations, these good expectations, let's go through, just through them once more. Number one, we said that Jesus set the commitment. Jesus knew what we do, how we do, the way we do. Very good expectation. We said, house where all of them do. Rest that you will be just as it is, but you also make me before his gates. Alright? He said, we want to be a repentant community. People that know how fallen we are, how gracious God is. We want to take that heart into small. We want to take that heart into our workers, into our families, that grace all another. Number four, we said we will treasure the intimacy of Jesus. We want to be intimate with the Word, intimate in prayer. What we said is that we could do intimacy with Christ about all other areas. Those areas will benefit from, as Jesus teaches us, how to be good husbands and wives, how to be good mothers and fathers, how to be good pastors or whatever, how to be effective work at your work. You should never do your work about God, because in your work you come to God, and your work cannot give you guidance, love, and peace, but God can. He wants to help you. You see, you want to go out and talk to everything. And then you will go, because you see, that's the expectation. So the church must have an element of going. And we said, to expect true relationship from that grace and truth. This is the expectation. And can we stand this morning? I'm going to pray fast and I'm going to have a good one. Can you just go to high school second?